This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Outrage continues to grow across the nation as people learn the details about the long wait times to treat veterans at the VA hospitals and clinics and the attempts within the VA system to mislead about those wait times using clerical tricks and gaming the system. If you've had to deal with these long wait times and issues at the Veterans Administration, we want to hear from you. Also, if you work at the VA and you want to share what's happening from your point of view from the inside, please give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980, or you can also email us at thesource@tpr.org. Our guest this half hour, Louis Selle, he is the Director of Legislative Affairs at the American Legion. Louis, welcome to The Source.
David, thank you for having me tonight.
So, how do you see things? How do things stand right now with the Veterans Administration and these wait times? I mean, we already knew, this is not new, we knew this, that there were these incredibly long wait times and that veterans were not getting the care they needed in a reasonable amount of time. But what's outraging people is that this system within the VA to hide that fact?
That's exactly right. And the American Legion has actually been testifying about these issues for many years, and we had full faith in Secretary Shinseki when he was hired, and we supported the secretary through many of his new initiatives, especially through education and trying to automate the claims process. We started to become extremely frustrated when we felt we weren't getting the transparency that we were looking for through some of the claims that were being made with these secret lists. And ironically now that the American Legion has come out and asked for the resignation for Undersecretary Hickey, Petzl, and Secretary Shinseki, there now seems to be just an onslaught of whistleblowers who feel confident enough now to come forward. And we're hearing news every single day now of additional evidence that there are possible secret lists. And we recently heard in St. Louis that there's a director of a mental health facility that's actually been removed for trying to improve the process at his facility. So it really is growing to be a much bigger problem than even we had suspected.
It just sounds like this ginormous hot mess. It's really hard to wrap our arms around what is going on here. First of all, is the VA underfunded? Is that the big issue?
Well, we never did believe that the VA was underfunded, because every time the VA would come to Congress, and keep in mind, I'm in Washington, D.C., every time the VA testifies, my staff and I are there. We usually are testifying right next to them. On the instances that we are not, we are in the room when they testify. We read their testimony. We talk with the VA and discuss it with them. So every time the VA and the administration come out and they ask for a dollar amount to fund the VA, Congress gives it to them. And in many cases, Congress gives them more than they ask for. So what we're afraid of now is we're afraid that these secret lists contain a backlog that Congress didn't have the opportunity to even address or fund if it needed additional funding. Right now, we're not sure if the VA is underfunded or not. Previously, we thought that the VA was adequately funded and that they were doing what they needed to be doing, but now we find that veterans aren't able to access the care that they need, and now we just don't know if we open the floodgates and erase these secret lists and put everybody on the actual list, that the VA will then come back and say, well, my goodness, we can't possibly get appointments for all of these veterans. That's why we had the secret list in the first place. So we don't know at this point.
So tell me what you mean by when you say secret list.
So what we're hearing is the VA has a policy to see a veteran who calls in for an appointment within a certain amount of time. Usually it's 30 days. If there is no appointment available within 30 days, then there are several things that we have heard that could be happening. One is they'll just tell the veteran, call back in 30 days. There is no appointment available for you right now within 30 days. Or they'll take the veteran's name and they'll put him on some kind of separate list that isn't integrated into the appointment system. And then what they'll do is when an appointment becomes available within the 30-day period, they'll plug that person in and take them off of the separate list. And what this does is it allows the VA to look as if they are complying with the regulation that states that they must have an appointment for every veteran that wants one within 30 days.
Right. So they have a separate set of books, basically, is what you're saying. So I've got Leticia Vandepute, Texas Senator, Chair of the Texas Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. She's called in. Senator Vandepute, are you there?
I sure am. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and thank you for calling in. So I know that you were calling for Texas hearings and a separate investigation into what's going on. Tell us what your plan is.
Well, first of all, the allegations that VA officials are misreporting and manipulating wait times for veterans seeking health care, it doesn't seem to be isolated to Texas or to San Antonio or Austin, with reports now in Wyoming and Arizona and Colorado. But as chair of this committee, and I can tell you that our House members and our senators are committed to looking at two things. First of all, July of 2012, we found that we had 100,000 cases backlog on the claims portion. We stepped up. Texas enacted a strike force team that helped get claims ready. Now, these are the original claims on disabilities. But what we're talking about here is health care, immediate health care. And this is something that the VA is supposed to be doing. And what we hear particularly from veterans and their families over and over again is that it's delayed health care. And delayed health care is no health care at all. We need to find out if this is systemic, if it's just a regional problem, or if what was just found here in Texas. But we know that if you only have one primary care provider for veterans, for 1,200 veteran patients, that there's no way they can see them. And then if you're trying to see a specialist, well, forget it. It's like they told one of our staff members who happens to be a state employee but a veteran, it'll take you 4 months. 4 months. And we know stories of people who are told, well, call back next month, and next month it's another 4 month wait. That's not health care at all. And we need to find out with an independent investigation, is this systemic? What are the causes? And then let's move on to quit finger pointing and blame, fix it.
So how do you fix it? The observation has been it's trying to fix a plane while it's in the air. You don't want to keep people from getting health care as we're trying to fix the system, right?
Well, no, but there's got to be a transition. Until the VA can either hire enough people or understand and convince that they need to actually spend the money on more staff, and if they can't get staff, then they've got to authorize the network care. In other words, we know that in Central Texas that they contracted out about $6 million into fee-based community care. And now we know that totals about $60 million just in the Texas area of fee-based community care.
So you're confident this can be fixed. This can be fixed. This is unacceptable and has to change.
It's unacceptable to throw up our hands and say it's too big doesn't honor the promise to our veterans.
All right, Senator Leticia Vandepute, I got to let you go. Thank you for calling in. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to continue this discussion about the scandal to VA. Stay tuned. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about a scandal at the VA as we're learning more, not just about the long wait times. We've known about that for a long time at the VA, but now about this attempt to doctor the records to keep these wait times from being known by the officials. If they can take time to doctor the records, why can't they take time to doctor the people that need the medical care, our veterans? If you've got a question, a comment, an observation, if you've seen this happen yourself or to someone else in your family, we want to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org. Our guest this half hour has been Louis Selle. He's the Director of Legislative Affairs at the American Legion. We just heard from Texas Senator Leticia Vandepute, who's the chair of the Veterans Affairs Committee. Let's get a caller in on this. Number again, 210-614-8980. Ernest has called in. Ernest, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Not hearing Ernest. Okay, Ernest, thanks for that. Sorry we couldn't get you on the air. So Louis Selle, Director of Legislative Affairs at the American Legion, what is the big solution? How is this fixable?
Well, you know, I heard Senator, was it Vandermeer?
Vandepute.
You know, and I heard her mention fee-based care, and the American Legion fully supports the VA using fee-based care. What we do want to see is we want to see the VA caring for those veterans that are enrolled within their network. That's their primary responsibility. In the absence of that, we have advocated for and do support fee-based care, but again, we feel that the primary care should be coming from the VA. We don't want the VA to rely on fee-based care to do their jobs. So can it be solved? Of course it can be solved. It can be solved with strong leadership and leadership that is able to get the truth from the employees at the Department of Veteran Affairs and not promote a climate in which lying is going to be accepted or even celebrated. Most of the areas that are in trouble right now, all of their directors are receiving bonuses, and one of the reasons that they're fudging the numbers is solely to make their bonuses more available to them, to make their ratings better, so that they can say, we don't have a problem here, so I'm in line for a bonus today. So now,
well, that sounds like fraud. Like they could be, like a criminal prosecution could happen for that.
Well, I know that some in the House of Representatives have asked Holder if he was going to investigate, and from what I understand, they're monitoring the situation. If they do find that fraud was involved, the administration's going to get involved. But apart from that, right now, we just want the problem fixed.
Okay, let's get some callers in on this. The number is 210-614-8980, and Leo has called in. Leo, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. And Leo? And having some problems with our phone system. I'm sorry, Leo. We can't get you. I can't hear you. We're not getting you on the air. So let me ask you again, Louis Selle over at the American Legion, about this fee-based system. So that would be like, so if the VA system is overloaded, not enough doctors, then what you would give the veterans vouchers, some sort of ability to see, just go find a doctor, have them bill us. Is that how it would work?
Well, no, actually, the Department of Veterans Affairs has relationships with doctors in the community, and they send them out on a contract. So it's not like giving the veteran a credit card and saying, here you go find a doc and put it on our account. It's within a network that the Department of Veterans Affairs has already contracted with a medical facility that has been vetted, that they know can do the job correctly, and they get referred out just like any other major medical network provider.
All right, we're going to try the phones again. Let's see if we can get Antonio to come on the air. Antonio, are you there?
Yes, I am, David.
All right, so you're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay. David, I just want to share a positive experience with the VA and to add to the concerns for veterans. Last year in August, I'm 58 years old. Last year in August, I started working out at the gym, and I started skipping a beat. My heart started skipping, went to my primary. My primary referred me over to a stress test because she felt there was something that she couldn't determine. Went through the stress test. When I did the stress test, they saw something they didn't like. They said, you got to come in the next day. Went in the next day for a heart catheterization. They found three occlusions. One was 90% occluded. They put in two stents. And I was out the next day, and I'm feeling great now. But all the time and all my experiences with the VA has been one of professionalism, of timeliness, and I can't say enough about, and I really feel that in this last incident, they really saved my life. So for what it's worth, that's a positive experience I've had with the VA.
So how do you justify that, rectify the fact that your experience was so good, yet we're hearing about so many people who've had wait times that are in the hundreds of days?
Well, you know, of course it concerns me because, of course, if there's that many, there has to be something there. So, but I would kind of be apprehensive about jumping to the conclusion that there's some scandal here until we have all the facts. And once we're able to do, then we can draw a conclusion from there. But certainly, if there is enough evidence that veterans are not getting enough attention, certainly it warrants some attention.
Antonio, thank you for your call. Louis Sally, you wanted to say something.
I did, you know, and I'm really glad that Antonio called in. And Antonio brings up an excellent point, and this is the perfect time for us to mention it, and that is that the American Legion believes that 90% of the doctors, 95% of the doctors, and the medical care teams within the Department of Veteran Affairs are nothing but consummate experts. They're there because they love their job and they want to take care of veterans. We have very few complaints when it comes to the actual care that our veterans are receiving. It's access to care. It's the administrative oversight of the hospital system that seems to be in jeopardy here. Not once the veterans can get in and get the care, they love it. We conduct town halls all over the country at major medical facilities through the Department of Veteran Affairs, and by and large, the feedback that we receive from veterans who are receiving care from the VA absolutely love their care. They love their doctors. They love their care team. That's what we want to hear. Unfortunately, the complaints that we do receive primarily revolve around the administration getting in to see that care, the red tape that gets involved when you fall out of the care system, and when you have to deal with the bureaucracy of the VA system. That's when the problems really begin.
Okay, let's get another caller in on the conversation. Jose has called in. Jose, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, I want to make a comment. In March, first of all, with a nonprofit organization here in San Antonio, we work with homeless veterans in helping them with their disability claims and breaking down barriers for them to be able to gain access to see their doctors. Well, in March, this Vietnam veteran that we have been working with, a homeless vet, died. And I sent a letter to every elected official that I could think of, including our state senator, our state congressman, Senator John Cornyn, and so forth. No one has responded to me. No, there was no outrage, nothing. The only call I received was from Congressman Jose Mendez, and it was your typical political tagline. Well, we're sorry to hear that, blah, 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 and so forth. This veteran, he had been waiting 2 years to get an appointment with the VA, and he spent over 3 years fighting with the VA on his disability claim to get his 100% reinstated. And this is a homeless veteran. And I voiced this concern. I find it offensive that this so-called political leaders are stating outrage, and to me it's phony and it's just political posturing. And I've been waiting since 2009 to get my hearing with the Board of Veterans Appeals. So, I mean, it really bothers me because we work with homeless veterans every day. We see 5 to 10 to 15 per day. And it's sad to see them have to go through what they are going through.
Okay.
And this is uncalled for.
Jose, thank you for your call. Thanks for sharing that story with us. So, Louis Sally, Director of Legislative Affairs for the American Legion, you hear about Jose's story. What's your reaction?
I do. You know, and it's another great call. Thank you, Jose, for calling in and sharing that story with us. One of the positive things that has come out of the VA in the past couple of years is their focus on helping homeless veterans and trying to eradicate homelessness among our veteran population.
And we have to show that there, when you have like PTSD, that it could lead to becoming homeless because you can't maintain a job or you don't want to be. It just leads to that.
Well, that's exactly right. And think about this, David. Every veteran at one point qualified for military service. They were physically, mentally, and morally qualified to wear this nation's uniform. So for them to fall into homelessness really indicates that some kind of problem, as you indicated, it could be mental illness, it could be a severe disability that they suffered. The other thing that I wanted to mention that Jose brought up, which is a very good point, is that Jose is not alone in trying to help these veterans. And the American Legion has over 2,900 accredited service officers across the country that will help him and help the veterans that he serves get these claims through before they die. Jose didn't have an opportunity to mention what exactly the cause of this veteran's death was, or if there was a problem getting the care through the VA that he needed. We didn't get a chance to hear that. But in the cases where they feel like they're being stonewalled, or there's an excessive amount of time to get this care approved, that's exactly what the American Legion does across the country.
So let me ask you, is this a political scandal, or is this just we need to figure out what went wrong and fix it?
Well, unfortunately, it's turning into much more of a political hot potato than we had hoped that it would. This is not political for the American Legion. This is about veterans. This is about veterans' care, and this is about the lack of care being afforded to veterans. There are some who are turning this into a political argument, which really is a shame. Historically in Congress, throughout the Senate and the House, the Veterans Affairs Committee has pretty much been that bipartisan part of Congress that has been able to work together for the betterment of the veterans. But, you know, unfortunately, we're coming into an election season, and there are people who are going to want to use this against the administration.
But this was also done in previous administrations. They had similar issues. But although, you know, Obama's been there for 6 years, and so he's got to own this as well.
That's exactly right. And, you know, when Secretary Shinseki was brought in, he was brought in hot on the heels of being Secretary of the Army. And when he was, you know, during his final years as Secretary of the Army, he stood up against Congress and against the administration and said, look, I hear what you're saying, but I'm telling you, you're wrong. We need more soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan as we wind down the war.
Louis Sally, I got to let you go. We're out of time. Thank you for all your great input. And we've been talking here about this VA scandal. We've got to go to this NPR news break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the National Highway Trust Fund. Stay tuned.